Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be together. And I welcome all our visitors with us. It's good to have you with us. I hope that your time with us is an encouragement to you, that you feel built up and encouraged while you're with us and feel welcome and appreciated. So, well, today we are beginning a new series. Okay? Drum roll, please. Wisdom. We're going to talk about wisdom for the next few weeks. And the focus in this series, the tone of this series, is wisdom for flourishing in life, flourishing in the kingdom of God. Wisdom as God's grace for our flourishing. So those are some of the things that we're going to kind of think about and set the tone for our study. Tyler and I are your fellow wisdom seekers as we go through this series for the next few weeks. What I want to do today is pretty simple. Just kind of get our bearings with what wisdom is itself, how the Bible defines wisdom. Wisdom is a huge topic in the world, throughout world history. Cultures throughout history have sought wisdom, pursued wisdom, loved wisdom. Philosophy is the love of wisdom, right? And so we recognize wisdom is a really important thing. But how does the Bible describe wisdom? What is biblical wisdom? What is God's wisdom? So want to today just kind of get our bearings with that and ask a couple questions. What is wisdom? And two, how do we get it? So that's our sort of mission for today. And then in the next few weeks, we're going to hopefully cover a wide variety of topics that are really practical, that are all aimed at us getting that wisdom from God so that we can do well, so that we can do better, so that we can grow and we can learn. And rather than maybe sometimes we may feel like we're drowning in a certain way or struggling in a certain way, let's gain this wisdom from God so that we can not do that. Okay, so hopefully this is an encouraging series to you, a helpful series to you, a constructive series to you, hopeful, all those things. So let's begin in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you so much for your amazing love for us, for your grace, your mercy, your compassion. Thank you for your wisdom that you share so freely. You've revealed the wisdom of your purpose throughout history. You've revealed wisdom for us how to live and how to do well in the world that you've created, even in the midst of suffering and evil and all sorts of trouble. May we all have the humility and the honesty and the enough wisdom to seek wisdom. Help us all through the next few weeks to grow wiser, to grow closer to you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. I'd like to begin by just reading from Proverbs chapter 1 for just a minute. If you would turn to Proverbs 1 if you'd like to follow along, or again, you're always welcome to just listen. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. And if you saw the handout, you saw I kind of put two texts up. Psalm 1 that Scott read for us a minute ago, and Proverbs 1. And I'm not going to walk through either of these texts necessarily today in any sort of expository verse-by-verse way. But what I'd like to do is just sort of have both of these texts just sort of hanging in the air for us. And so what Scott read for us is that promise of flourishing from Psalm 1. And what I'll read now is the sort of the promise of wisdom, the invitation for wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord, the fear of Yahweh, is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay, so we'll just kind of keep that, both of those texts kind of floating in the air, and we're going to draw on those a little bit as we go. Okay. So our question, what is wisdom? All right, maybe each of you kind of get some ideas to the front of your mind. You think of wisdom, what comes to mind? What do you think of? How would you start to answer that question? Okay. So the first thing that we're going to see is skill. Okay, wisdom is skill. if we're reading through the Bible sort of from Genesis on in sort of canon order, the very first time we come across the idea of wisdom is actually in Exodus. And if you think about the book of Exodus, it's the part of the book of Exodus that you're always tempted to skip. If you're doing a daily Bible reading plan, you read through Genesis, and there's some difficult parts, but you make it through Genesis. Then you read through Exodus. Okay, the plagues, the Exodus, Mount Sinai, Ten Commandments, were good. But then you get to the blueprints for the tabernacle, and we're like, how do we read this? But it's in that section where we first come across wisdom for the first time. Listen to what's said. This is This is Exodus chapter 31, beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I've filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship, to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and bronze, and the cuttings of stones for settings, and in the carving of wood, that he may work in all craftsmanship." Notice, okay, we're introduced to this guy named Bezalel, and he's been filled with God's Spirit to receive wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to do what? To have this skill as a craftsman, okay? So get that picture in your head, right? Okay, this skill as a craftsman, as an artisan, to do all this elaborate work on the construction of the tabernacle. I'll keep reading beginning in verse 6. "And behold, I myself have appointed him with Aholiab, the son of Ahimaasach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all who are skillful, I've put skill." That's the same word that's translated wisdom throughout the scriptures. "That they may make all that I've commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of testimony, the mercy seat upon it, and all the furniture of the tent, the table, its utensils, the pure gold of the lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with its utensils, the laver, its stand, the woven garments, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, the garments of his sons to carry on the priesthood, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense for the holy place. They're to make them according to all that I've commanded you," right? So again, picture these craftsmen. Picture these skilled craftsmen and artisans who are going to be in charge of constructing the tabernacle, developing the special garments that the priest would wear, even you know, sort of putting together that special oil and that the recipe that God gives that says you can't use this recipe for anything else but this special thing, right? Doing all that, right? The skill that's involved in that level of construction and detailing and all that sort of stuff. That picture of skill is the same word that we see throughout Scripture that's used to describe wisdom. But so when we start to think about wisdom, though, wisdom's going to ultimately be broader than that. But what this idea of skill does is it gives us this skilled craftsman gives us a fitting and helpful entry point and a helpful, powerful metaphor to help us understand wisdom. And ultimately, that skill, wisdom is skill for flourishing in life. Wisdom ultimately encompasses all of life. Our work, the work we do, like we, you know, if you're a craftsman or artisan, or our relationships, right? Parenting, marriage, neighbor relationships, citizens relationships, our finances, right? There's wisdom in finances, our character, our attitudes. Again, wisdom's going to encompass all any category or anything that you might put under the umbrella of how we live our life. Wisdom is gonna be encompass all of that. Wisdom encompasses so all of life, but encompasses life in this present age and life for the age to come. That's something that we need to see. So a lot of times I'll hear wisdom only in the context of maybe how to live the good life now. And it certainly applies to that, right? It's going to give us wisdom. You know, if I can make this dumb decision and suffer a little bit while I'm here, or make this better decision and suffer less, well, I'll choose wisdom and suffer less, right? So yes, wisdom certainly applies to living the good life now, but it also carries with it this greater vision of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God, so wisdom lives in light of God and his kingdom, and wisdom has eternal aims and outcomes, right? So we don't want to miss that aspect of wisdom. Another thing when you think about wisdom is skill for flourishing, this is helpful to think about. Wisdom is, on one hand, the skill to control our circumstances and our outcomes. Think about that for just a second, right? You know, the circumstances in our lives, outcomes in our lives, man, how do we do that? Wisdom gives us the skill to be able to control that, right? So take an example. If I'm a diligent worker who spends, saves, invests, gives wisely, gives generously, I'll attain some level of financial success. So that's one facet, one dimension, one sort of category of wisdom. But so you see, by behaving wisely, I've controlled my outcome, as opposed to if I've behaved foolishly, well, that will lead to a different outcome beyond my control and all that sort of stuff. So notice the connection between wise behavior and controlling that outcome and circumstance. And that's the kind of wisdom that we might think of in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is repeatedly showing us, do this for this outcome, right? And so you see that throughout the book of Proverbs. So wisdom is, on one hand, the skill to control our circumstances and our outcomes. Wisdom is, on the other hand, the skill to respond well when circumstances and outcomes are uncontrollable, right? So I might recognize, you know, that biblical wisdom recognizes that life is not always so simple, and there are complexities, and yet biblical wisdom equips me for those complexities. So I might think about, you know, the context that I just described, that example I just described of financial wisdom and certain outcomes, right? But I also recognize, okay, natural disasters, sickness, war, political corruption, inequitable systems, theft, personal injury, and all sorts of other things can keep me impoverished no matter how wisely or how diligently I act, right? So that's the other side of things. So wisdom, on one hand, again, is equipping me, giving me the skill to some extent, control those outcomes and those circumstances, but then helping me respond well when those circumstances and those outcomes are uncontrollable. That's the kind of wisdom we get largely from the book of Job. You think about Job, he and his friends had a very simplistic kind of almost karma view of the world. If I do this good, I get this good benefit. If I do this bad, you know, had that blessing reward sort of mindset. And they had to learn the hard way. Job learned the hard way. That's, the world's not always like that. The world's often not like that. Wisdom we get from the gospel, as it helps us see the big picture of God's kingdom and helps us locate ourselves within that and that we're in this present